Sad.
It's over.
Yeah.
But guess what? Our friendship is not over.
Yes.
It's just a little game we were playing.
Thank you, Chris.
I had a little cry about it.
Oh, I've been crying all week about it. I always cry at the end of the campaign. It's a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
That's it. Welcome to the post-campaign Q&A.
Hey.
I'll be your host, Dungeon Master Chris, here to answer all your questions and perhaps ask you all some questions in return.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. I think that I'm 100% sure my one question was about the orb of reality or whatever.
Yeah.
100 fucking percent.
I wanted to know if they were real.
Yep. And that question has been answered definitively.
I was really excited to be able to put them in. Right,
was it real whenever you told us about it?
Yes.
Nice.
A little peek behind the DM screen. They didn't exist when Amani wished for the afterlife to turn back on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But before this campaign started, I came up with the idea for them. Mm-hmm.
Are they, like, from all different times? Are they, like, from the current time? Are they?
They exist outside of this time and outside of this reality.
So are they, like, otherworldly creatures?
I'm going to leave that a mystery.
Okay.
I have some ideas on it, but I don't want to say anything. So, like, I like the idea of them being just a little...
And for sure it could come up again.
For sure it could come up again. I like the idea of them being mysterious. All you know is basically what you've been told, yeah, that they are, you know, incredibly powerful wizards who have dedicated themselves to making sure that through the power of witches, essentially, that the reality doesn't get irrevocably fucked.
No.
And
they were wearing a mask, right?
Yeah, a mirrored mask. You have no idea what species they were. You just know that they're a medium-sized creature wearing loose-fitting, metallic, shiny, intentionally designed by me to be kind of futuristic-looking to put them even further, you know, out of time.
Okay.
To make them really seem jarring.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also the way they came, you know, the entrance with, you know, reality cracking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that was...
So that was all their show.
That was their show.
Gotcha.
Also, so yeah, it came about because, yeah, in between campaigns, I was thinking about the wish spell. And, you know, just how fucked it is. You know? Like, what would prevent somebody evil from just using a wish spell to do evil things, right? Obviously, that's got to happen. But what would, you know, if you're an evil lich who wants to destroy all life, why don't you just wish for all life to be destroyed? Like, there's got to be some sort of safeguard in place.
So, yeah.
And then also what inspired me, though, is there's a 33% chance if you cast, like, a wish that rewrites reality that you can't cast wish anymore. I'm like, well, what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if that 33% chance is more, you know, if there's, like, an actual, like, there's more of a reason behind it than just mechanical game rules.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of where that came
more from. Than just a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love it. Excuse me.
It wasn't at all because Colleen was so upset.
Oh, you're talking about, like, the wish spell this campaign?
Yeah.
So, fun fact. At the end of the last session, I did not plan on having your character come back.
I didn't think so.
I actually had a different ending planned that I thought was very beautiful and kind of bittersweet. But then I remembered something as a DM. And that is, it's not my story to tell.
And I literally got fired on Monday and it would have sucked. It would have sucked even more. I'm glad I didn't die. I'm really glad I didn't.
That may have come into it. It wasn't
in the top 10 reasons. To me, it was like, oh, this will be a nice little pick-me-up for Caitlin after a very bad week.
Yes.
But it was, I literally couldn't sleep last Sunday night. Not because of, like, you have to kill the character, but it was exciting to see it as a campaign. It was just racing through my head and this ending I had. But then as I was thinking more about it, like, laying in bed Sunday and throughout Monday, and taking that day off of work, I was like, yeah, I love this ending. It's beautiful. But is it the ending the players want?
Mm-hmm. What was it? What was the ending?
The idea I had was that Lahaz, the enigmatic, and Magpie... would pull you out of time the moment, after the door shut in the activation tower, the moment before you created the plane, and let you go to Inari's wedding, and you have one night together, and then they'd have to put you back.
That would suck so much! bitch. If I hadn't had the week I had, maybe I could have handled that.
And first. I had this almost fairy tale ending. My whole idea for the ending was like, basically the ending we had where it's just the four of you spending this evening together, but the fairy tale kind of aspect of it would be that, like,
at the stroke of midnight.
Well, no, it would, just be that you guys spend this time together, and instead of the time going quickly, the, you know, minutes become hours, the hours become days, you know, just this sort of forever, you know, moment of you all just getting to spend this time together. And then the idea would be that they'd find the teal diamond, and they would go explore, you know, your new plane and feel you there. And that was kind of the original ending I had, which I thought was a pretty ending, but it was my ending. And so I, early on in the week, I talked to Colleen, and I was like, well, how would you want this to end? Like,
and I was like, well, Tony would just stumble into this. Like, he would just be so grief-stricken, and he'd just be like, why? And then could it just magically happen? And Chris is like, yeah, let's flush that out a little more.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, there was a bunch of witches I knew wouldn't work. Because, yeah, the material plane could be destroyed. And then Colleen and I talked about it some, and she had an idea that was, like, basically creating, like, a tangible, like, almost like a copy of you that would be, like, exist in both places at the same time and be immortal.
That's
crazy. I thought was a cool idea.
Yeah.
And my idea, and I was like, I told Colleen she could pick whichever one she wanted, was I was re-listening to the last session, and I remember the artificer saying, oh yeah, we almost cracked this mortality thing, if only we had more time to do it.
And I was like, oh, that's a better idea.
It's a good thing to remember as a DM, is don't get too attached to your own stories, and I'm actually happier, I think, with the ending that we did have. It was...
Well, and I mean, last week I didn't for a second believe that I was gonna, like, that Tyka was gonna stay dead, but then as the week went on, I was like, actually, probably, she's totally gonna stay dead. And then you started the wish thing, and I was like, oh no, it's real! I was like, I'm gonna lose it!
Well, and I was trying to play really coy when you're like, well, Tyka have any influence over the play? And I was like,
I did not have the bandwidth to offer anything over.
I tried to lean into how sad Tony was to make it seem like there was no hope. Sad, just grief and devastation.
Yes.
Well, and I think as a DM, you get kind of stuck on the idea of, in a game where death doesn't matter because anybody can come back, how do you have a meaningful sacrifice? And I think... And I don't know, I kind of like, and so I kind of, that's why I had that original ending idea, but then I thought about it more, I'm like, yeah, but there is a sacrifice. Like, they spent 6 months without you. Like, that would be, that's a tangible thing, and that's going to, you know, and that's kind of the reason I did the session the way I did with the montage. Just like, yeah, like, letting you guys feel that for a bit.
We're recording this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, I think something else that is going to, like, I don't know, like, you said that reality was rewritten. I don't think that it was completely for Tyka. You know what I mean? Like, I think that for her character, there is a ghost, a shadow of that experience of ceasing to exist as the plane was created.
Yeah, I mean, even though you came back, like, you believed that you were going to cease to exist.
Yeah.
And even though you did come back and survived it, like, you did cease to exist for 6 months. And, yeah, it's going to have an impact on your character.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to go away lightly or quickly for Tyga.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What other questions about the campaign do y'all have? Any behind-the-scenes stuff you want to know?
God, it's been so long.
I know.
It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very close to it.
Oh, yeah, what's the bad sister up to? She's still...
Oh, yeah,
Stormward Shakiri?
Mm-hmm,
Shakira. She's just up to kind of generic crime lord stuff. You know, that's an interesting one where... It's actually kind of funny. So, you know, Colleen and I were talking about this, so this won't be a surprise there, though she forgot. I got lines and veils of, like, things that will happen and things that won't happen. And... One of the lines that we established early in the campaign, actually when Magpie kind of met the group and, like, didn't trust them and didn't want to have anything to do with them, which I don't know. I don't think you two were here yet for that. So when they first met Magpie, Magpie.
Oh yeah.
Was a divination school. Mm. And so, you know, I kind of played each of the wizards as kind of like, what would be like the worst outcome for this school of magic?
Mm.
And so Ithune, he was a divination wizard, and so like he just kept filling like Magpie's head with like all these prophecies of like doomsday and like trying to control her through, and he was like spying on all the members of the town. You know, it's like, what's the worst part of divination, right? Surveillance and like that sort of prophecy stuff. And so Magpie didn't trust any either of them, because Ithune had told her that they were going to be the end of the world if she met with them. And then that, like, unfortunately was pretty triggering for Colleen, because she didn't realize, intentionally she didn't make this case, but, you know, she has some related trauma with, you know, being separated from her siblings in real life. And so one of the lines we did early on was like, okay, well, none of Tony's siblings are going to die.
And so
that kind of changed a little bit, but... So Stormward, though, like, I had this idea. Tony gave me 7 siblings, and we had these different themed wizards. And so I had the idea of, like, there being a sibling for each of the 8 schools of magic. And then, like, what's the, you know, and Stormward, it was raised by the Illusionist. And so what's, like, the Illusionist, in my opinion, is maybe the worst or second worst school for abuse. And, like, you were rewriting people's realities. So very gaslighty. And so... I kind of liked the idea of Stormwood being this sort of gaslighting you all, too, to an extent, of, like, she had actually taken over a long time ago. And you know, running this empire that even, you know, Taika had even already known about and just didn't realize it was her. Because when I came up with the crime families, I'd kind of come up with all the names and, like, species, and one of them was Tabaxi for the Stormwoods. And so... When I knew there was a wizard's tower in Dabar, so I was like, well, actually, that makes sense, you know, to kind of combine those. And so, yeah, she's just up to pretty malevolent, evil wizard shit and crime lord shit. I gave Taika early on, like, a rundown of each of the crime families and the shit they're up to. And
she's the worst.
She was the worst.
Yeah, by far. Like, real bad shit.
So, no. It's not something she's kind of still up to. Still bad shit, you know. And it was kind of a loose end at the end, but also, like, kind of not. Because, like, I was like, you know, Cloud Fang needed to learn to let that go. Everyone else seemed to have learned how to let that go. And so that was kind of, I thought, a nice little note on that was to have Cloud Fang almost go after her and then not.
Yeah. Were there any, like, NPCs that you thought or, like, wanted us to, like, befriend or, like, follow a path that we
so
didn't.
So many.
any that you're, like, the most, like, oh,
when they left it on the table.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's literally going to a list right now.
He just has this note that's like, why didn't they fucking talk to this person more?
And that's the thing. I have learned through over 20 years of DMing. The players will never pick up on... You'll create this, like, really interesting NPC at the bar, and then they'll be like, oh, there's also a goblin. They'll be like, tell me more about the goblin. I don't know. His name's Squizbob, and he likes croissants. And they're like, we want to know everything about Squizbot, who likes croissants. You know, like...
Jorn.
Jornathan.
Trying to think. I kind of thought, like... I thought you all would do more with the Kestrels.
I kind of wish we had.
Yeah.
Like, not in, like,
Brutosaurus, I love the Kestrels.
Yeah, like, they seem cool. It, like, turned out, like, nicely, the jokiness of it, but I feel like they would have been cool to bond with.
Yeah, we really went into it with, like, who are these fuckers?
Yeah.
Funny. You guys were so sus of them from the get-go, and I had intended on it being, like, kind of, like, a friendly adventure group that would be, like...
No.
Kind of, like, rivaling you in sort of the sense that you guys are kind of picking up the same type of stuff and kind of leveling at the same rate, but, like...
I wonder if it's because we could sense your excitement about them, and we were like, what the fuck is happening here?
Don't trust this. I don't think so. I think it was just a matter of, oh no, we don't want them doing what we're doing. I think it was territorial.
Or maybe it was
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
maybe.
And then, like, yeah, there are things that, like, you guys latched onto that didn't expect you to do. Like, Harita. Harita was just, like, you know, like, a random NPC for this murder mystery adventure. And I just...
Jokes on you! Marry her!
That's the best part about D&D, right? Like, I don't know, like, you're just like, I really like the vibe of this character. And then she bought your submarine. Like, hey, you're now half owner of.
Hey! You want it back.
Does this mean we can go in the submarine again?
Isn't it? It's dead because you took its brain out. It's just on display.
No,
right?
She got another one.
Yeah, she did.
She got another one.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's just interesting. I really like building Harita because, like,
You're welcome.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just like
a little bit.
You know, like, yeah, she was like this sort of flashy, you know, sort of socialite, but I also like the idea of her having a conscience, you know, being like, you know, like flashy, but also socially motivated. And also, like, I don't know why I picked up on it, but just the idea that, like, you know, she works really hard, but doesn't have a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. Like,
I liked that. I felt like that was a good pairing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who the fuck stabbed Evelyn? Tell me right fucking now.
Yeah.
Who the fuck stabbed Evelyn?
Did we not find that out?
We never did. We never went back to it.
So the assassin that Pak Mutar had sent to make sure that the demon thing got out of hand, and maybe the demon was actually going to kill Harita. That was the plan. You all stopped that from happening.
That's right.
Because Pak Mutar promised you that he would hurt somebody that you all cared about.
Yeah.
And so Evelyn gave chase, and that, you know, caught up to that assassin, but was not leveled. And that assassin was a decent level.
Yeah. Oof.
So that's not the question you want to ask, though, because you knew it was the assassin. The question is, who called you on her sending stuff?
Oh.
Yes.
Who the fuck?
That was her mother.
Evelyn's mother?
Yes.
Angel?
Who is...
Cassandriel?
Not an angel, but is a mortal child of one of the deities.
Whoa! One of the current deities?
One of the current deities.
What?
Had a kiddo. And yeah, Evelyn's an angel. She's had that
slept halo.
Yeah, Evelyn's had that halo her whole time.
Yeah, but like, in a lulz way.
Yeah, but her mom is a literal demigod.
Oh, shit.
And
there are demigods on this plane?
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you about the demigods?
Fuck you! Of course you didn't! That's why you got that grin on your face right now!
That's exactly why I think
fucker!
Of my face. Yes, there are the mortal gods are on the plane for 2 centuries.
Yeah.
And
oh
some
gosh.
Of them fucked.
Wow.
Can't blame them.
And
so wait, are these demigods like immortal themselves?
Some of them are.
Wow.
Did I ever fuck a demigod?
You never fucked a demigod.
Okay.
You know.
But
I think
you've
if
never met
Inari ever was presented
yourself
with the option to fuck a demigod, Harita would be like, I'm going to give you this pass.
No. Right.
But yeah, so basically her mother came.
Does Evelyn know her mom?
No.
Oh, shit. Gotcha.
So like that was her mom.
That's why Evelyn grew up on the streets and had a bar.
I thought she had parents. Oh.
So that was her mom, like,
saving her, but not wanting to get caught saving her.
Wow.
Because
they live by a different set of rules.
Wow.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Also, I don't know if they're going to do it anymore, but Evelyn's going to have a baby Taika.
Ah!
I was going to ask.
And the baby will have a halo.
Aww. Cute. Oh my god, that child's going to be spoiled rotten.
Oh. My
it's gonna be so
God.
Great.
Yeah. Shims, what about you? What questions do you have? Any? Shims, Leanne.
I answered to it, didn't I?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't know.
Evelyn's mom.
I didn't. I don't know. I'll think of something.
Ravi's character from Glam also was the child of a demigod. We just never got there.
Yeah, I know.
That was going to be the big coming out for demigod potential.
Oh, we just never got to it. Yeah. Crazy.
What do you call it?
Fucking wild.
I don't know. Like,
right. I've got another one.
Yeah.
Is the Jungle of No Return going to be fixable? Or unknown yet?
Unknown yet. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Is there like a reason, like a point, like a thing, like a... We could be able to figure out why it is the way it is?
Is
that knowable?
Is it solvable?
I have vague ideas about why the Jungle of No Return is the way it is. I haven't decided yet if the cause is reversible or not. Oh. It definitely has to do with the fall of... Katsathir, or no...
Kathair, yeah.
Yeah, Kathair.
It was
the formal, the formal capital of the Debalia.
Mm-hmm.
That fell.
Okay.
And you had given in to greed and corruption and had fallen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And had cursed the entire area.
Mm-hmm. Where's our skeleton friend?
Oh, God.
I actually thought... I did a bunch of cameos at the end. So
I was waiting for him to show up. Or, like, I was like, would Chris...
I literally... brainstorm for about 10 minutes today and be like, how can I get that fucking skeleton from the bar to Bronzeport in time for this?
There's just no plausible
reality. I couldn't figure out a way to do it. And I was like, you know, also, it's probably best not to wreck the vibe of everybody happy to be back together.
Yeah.
By bringing in the one thing that almost tore the group apart.
Yeah.
The one thing.
The biggest intergroup conflict of the entire campaign was literally a fucking
skeleton.
Random encounter that I rolled on a goddamn D100 table.
That's great.
So I was like, oh, I need a little something to end the campaign with.
End the campaign with?
Or the session with.
I was like, what?
End the session with. Because, you know, we had a little extra time that day. And I was like, well, let's just do a little rando encounter as they leave Bronzeport for funsies.
Hilarious.
Like, and, you know, it's like skeleton and an abandoned house. And I was like, I could work with that.
Oh, yeah. Little did you know.
Little did you know. Too funny. Fuck. That's hilarious.
I guess I'm just not that... Like, I like a lot of unknowns in my world.
Because
I like... It's almost like the Schrodinger's cat. Like,
the
things you don't know are exciting. And then the things you know, you're just like, oh, the cat's dead. Like...
Oh, the cat's dead.
Yes, it's Schrodinger's.
Well, that's a very good segue into. I will not be going through a detailed point by point thing of what Magpie's been up to.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Fuck!
I'm excited.
She's level
for
20,
her.
Right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How many boons from gods does she have?
More than one.
I'm excited to find out later if anything.
Yeah.
Has she's done anything?
And yeah, what I will say about Magpie, I'll give you a little bit, like, not what she's been doing, but just sort of like. I like the idea of, you know, all your siblings, I've tried to kind of give them sort of, you know, paths back from, like you went through, like, just paths back from, like, being under the control of those evil wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And so it honestly just started with, you know, like, Magpie, like, developing really good connections in the area. Like, she'd been cloistered for so long that she really wanted to get to know her community. And so that included the criminal element. And so you all just started making assumptions, and you seemed to love it. And so I was just like, I'm fucking rolling with this. And so I actually do have a lot of her backstory mapped out.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm going to keep it to myself. Yeah. Also as a DM, it's just good. Like, sometimes, like, when you're running a group, like, you need this. You just need to occasionally have, like, kind of, I call them favor givers. Like, more people that are more powerful in the group that wouldn't go on the adventure themselves, because then why else wouldn't they be up his way? But can also, like, you all needed to get to a place you hadn't been to before. Sometimes it's fun to be like, okay, you're going to have to travel there, and, you know, let's spend 8 sessions, you know, getting you there. And sometimes, like, especially in the later half of the campaign, it's like, no, I'd actually rather just sort of get there to deal with this
thing.
You know, I don't want to Matt Mercer you all and have
Jesus,
you all
spend
20 sessions getting to the place.
Thank you. That's funny.
But.
Oh, Magpie.
But, yeah, I really like, Magpie is one of my favorite NPCs for the campaign.
Me too.
It's hilarious.
I just saw that little tabaxi.
She's great.
That's so funny.
Just taking that type A personality to, like, its logical extreme. Because that was also something from the very beginning. She was a morning person. She'd get up early. She was very focused and dedicated on getting stuff done. And
so. No.
She was more efficient as an adventurer than we ever were.
Well, she soloed everything. She didn't have a group.
Yeah.
God damn.
Which well, and she didn't want a group either.
No.
Like, yeah. I think she liked doing a lot of that stuff on her own so that she wasn't held accountable.
Well, and also, less people, like, she grew up under, a, like, somebody who kept meddling and, like, spying, and she just, like, having secrets. Like, having secrets was novel to her. Like,
yeah.
She really enjoyed having secrets.
Yeah.
And letting people know that she had secrets. Like,
didn't get that vibe from her at all.
No.
Like, I for important PCs, I'll often view Bond's ideals and flaws. And her flaw is definitely, like, a little bit of, like, not hubris, but, like, kind of, like, show-offiness. Like, she's, like... And perhaps a little
despicable.
Perhaps just a little too much. but yeah, I liked her. Yeah.
Just smugness, maybe.
I tried not to make her smug. I tried to make her helpful and like obviously like a know-it-all, but like I tried to make sure that I wanted to make sure she was still likable. Like I didn't want her to be like kind of like, well, I know how to do all this stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
I think it was a well-written line that you had on that because I definitely was like, she's so close to just saying, ha. Like we're just on the edge of her saying, well, duh. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Magpie.
Mm-hmm. Badass.
Magpie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely my favorite of the siblings. I also really like the Callus, though. Like, yeah, that was he was a fun one to develop.
Mm-hmm. I always thought of him like my cousin Andy, just like super kind of like calm, but also like a little scary.
Nice.
Well, I also just like the messiness of his transition too, like both kind of from a trans way and also just from an identity way, like because Vicalis was the name of the wizard whose identity he assumed.
Exactly.
Like, he became his identity as sort of.
Yeah. Boy.
It's almost like he consumed that identity.
Yeah. Because he walks around not looking like a tabaxi, right?
Right.
Yeah. He usually looks like a wizard, like a goth wizard.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
I always figured that he looked like that one... kind of like magic user in Enchanted or Disenchanted that has the hat that has like another eye underneath it.
Oh, Disenchantment, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it was just a one-time disguise, but I always like it just stuck in my head that he's Idris Elba.
Yeah. I know, right?
Like, it's. I know it was a one-time thing when we were, like, undercover, but I'm just like, no, that's just his default.
That's funny.
All right, so I'm going to ask each of you, like, what was the most unexpected thing that your character did? Like, where you're like, oh, shit, when I made this character, I had no idea that they'd do this.
Mm.
Or, like, what was the most surprising thing that sort of developed from, like, your character from getting to know them?
Fucking guard captains.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like, so early on, I was like, that.
You're like,
that.
You're like, I like this.
Well, you know what it was? You know what the funniest thing was? Oh, buddy. Buddy.
He looked at me. I was like, sorry.
It was that first guard captain in Oompa Loko.
Yeah.
And you described her. She had, like, a half buzz cut, bright white hair with the mine.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I was like, that's cool. And it'd be cool to be involved with that, you know? So yeah, that the guard captain's 100%. And it came up so early that it like became a part of who she was, but I did not expect that. Like, she's a crime person.
Yeah. I really liked it, yeah, because like, yeah, you had the crime background and like all your stuff was like criminal based and you're just like,
This is what I want.
Well, and part of me is like, is it almost just sort of like you enjoy, does your character just sort of like enjoy like the fact that you're kind of getting one over on?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Because in Tamar, Taika wasn't around any authority figures other than crime lords.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't even a guard watch in Tamar, and so meeting these people, and she looks at them, and she's like, that person would want to arrest me.
Yeah,
and she spent a lot of time like in jail or and that sort of thing because of the way Tabar is set up, it never really meant much.
Mm-hmm.
But then to go to another town and see all the order and go, ha, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It's 100% what it was. And then, like, that first hit of, was it Dusk or...
Captain Herbert was the first one that you really, like, kind of got in the ear.
And that just, like, ticked it over, and then I was just like, I want them all.
I'm gonna collect them all.
I'm gonna catch them all.
The General Strife Cutter was one I did not expect you guys to have such a strong reaction to.
I love her so much.
She's just so, like, tough and intimidating that it's just, like... For me, it's like the teacher's pet syndrome. It's just like, if I impress this woman, I need the approval of this authority figure. She's very authoritative, and that makes me apparent. That brings up a lot of feelings in me.
Well, and it was just an extension of everybody else, because I'd been collecting these guard captains and being in their good graces, and then I met this person who would throw me in jail just to look at me 100%, and then to go like, no, I've got enough cred now, I can do the same thing with this. This is impossible level. This is level 20 shit.
Yeah.
It's what the captain was. Or the general.
Yeah. By the way, the general did know when you thought you had deceived her. She knew at that time. That's actually why she didn't talk to you guys for a while. She wasn't sure what to do about it. Because she did have a lot of esteem for you. Well, it does. Y'all went and led an army. And
we got it back. Oh my god.
But the general, it went contrary to everything the general stood for. But also, there was a part of the general that's like, the city is better off.
We're so fuck? Amazing that we made her shake her values a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. No, who the fuck made the mess in Pak Mutar's, left the shit everywhere? Who did that?
Oh, the assassins.
And then...
They wanted to make it seem like...
he was a madman?
Yeah, to make it seem like he was just like this lone...
Did they do it poorly on purpose? Or they just didn't do it well?
They just didn't do it well.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I was waiting for another subplot for that. No, they just...
Yeah, it's funny because you guys are reading so much into it. Like, oh no, this is just the assassins, like... kind of half-heartedly trying to cover their tracks.
And then the general walks in, and even we can say, this is stupid.
Yeah, and saw through everything.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. I love it.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, you did lie to the general, but you also didn't, like, you know, you weren't, like, trying to actively cover it up either, so that definitely gave you points in the general's favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when the general realized for sure that you all didn't create that mess,
yeah,
that was, like, another kind of point in your favor for her to...
Yeah.
Well, you know, right? What's something that you developed from your character that surprised you?
Being a hoe.
Yeah. Well, the opposite, actually. I think I went in thinking Inari was going to be, like, super closed off and hold people at a different distance other than, like, you know, friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think I went in thinking she was just going to be, like, hone it up and emotionally closed off and like not grow in that way, grow in like other ways, but I think I went in with the tragicness and I was like, that's gonna be like, she's stuck there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think she would have anywhere to go. So
yeah, I really love that Ari's arc. That was good.
Yeah, it was really unexpected for everyone.
Yeah. I appreciate you giving me a lot of latitude to sort of play with your origin and, like, your memory and, like, all that stuff. That was a lot of
fun.
Was there any point during that Marique Danavera thing that you thought you'd go for one or the other?
You know, I the Shay and me wanted to do Danavera, but stepping back, I had a character that I played for a really long time that was, like, a nature druid, like, super, and I was like, for me, I don't want to play that again.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it wouldn't be the same, but I was like, And then I was, but then it was kind of the time when, I think I was starting to realize that Inari was, like, growing, and I thought I would have wanted to choose Marique. For, like, I wanted her to hold on to her vengeance and hold on to the anger. Mm-hmm. And I think I realized that, like, that wasn't really where Inari was.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, me both wanted to do both. Because I was like, it'd be fun if she was like something evil happened.
I had no idea what you were going to pick. That was really? I had cards printed up for each of the possibilities.
Oh, that's right.
And it was so good. And I think truly, like, I knew it was going to be a big character one, but I think it was like the pivotal moment for Inara.
I think that's when I realized, like, she's like ready to like let go and move on and not be so. And the moment that Harita told her that she knew she was lying, even though she couldn't tell, like that hit Inara. But that I thought about it for the week. I was like, I legitimately was like upset at myself.
Oh, no.
I was like, that was stupid. How did you mess this up for Inara?
That's so funny. You literally were like, oh no, I do like her a lot.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, Inara has to be like. That I feel, and I think that was good because that was a good. It wasn't just like, oh, she's like improving and you know, like growing, but it was like she was faced with consequences of her actions and had to like.
Yeah, I love that moment. That was for me. It was such a good moment to like role play Harita doing that because it was like Harita knows the truth. Like she 100% knows the truth.
Yeah.
And so what do you do when the person rolls the impossible deception check against somebody who actually knows the truth?
And I think that was so perfect for Inara's character because I think like even though like I didn't, you know, pass every check with that stuff, it was like that was the perfect thing to be the issue.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm good at. Is the thing that like fucks me over.
That is the issue now.
And thank you.
I mean, it's a group effort.
Collaborative.
So I love this. Dini's so great.
Love it.
I had no idea where the story's going from week to week either. So. What about you, Colleen? What was something that surprised you about Tony?
I think it was interesting, like how organically as he connected back with his siblings, how he became more himself and like became like almost a larger than life character. And I feel like that's really when he started doing like some really cool stuff is like after the siblings were all in a pretty good space. And then he was like, let's fuck some shit up. And I really liked that. And it was very, I don't know, inspired?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what he was going to do.
Like, no one did.
Nobody knew.
It was ridiculous. Like, especially, I'm thinking Leslie Presley specifically. And like, I don't know where that came from. God. It was truly just like...
Chaos Gremlin shit?
Well, Chaos Gremlin, but also just like very... Like, it really was... some sort of artistic muse that like took over, and not to be like hyperbolic, but like I dissociated. Like I have no idea what happened. Like I listened to it and I was like, oh my god, this is hilarious. But like Colleen Jarrett was not present in that situation.
Only Leslie was.
It was just Tony, and like it's just very interesting.
Makes sense.
I that's one of the things I love too about like I think you did a very good job of like it's hard for players to play chaotic characters without it just sort of derailing the campaign or like. It's very easy for a chaotic player to make things very unfun for everybody at the table when they're like, my character wouldn't do this. And I think that you, like, you were the sterling example of how you can do a chaotic character, but still, like, yes and with the rest of it.
Very similar to Amanda, for sure. She's also very good at being a chaos gremlin, but keeping it within scope and keeping, you know, not derailing it.
Well, waiting for your moment, I think, is the most important thing.
Because,
like, I had lots of ideas. I didn't go with all of them. But, like, when I saw this when I came up with Leslie Presley, I was like, oh, man, like, let's see where this goes. And then it snowballed. And I was just like... holy crap,
some of the funniest moments with Tony were also, I'm gonna do this, and us all going, Tony! Because, like, you wouldn't even, like, keep them to yourself. Sometimes you'd float them, and we'd be like, what the fuck?
We're like, oh.
Well, and also remember when you saved Jasper's life by being a pervert?
Yeah.
Number one. Fucking wild.
It truly, like, I... was
I
like,
I want to see the bits.
I was like, this is going to be a great moment for me to refer back to. And I was like, oh, remember when you were talking to Jasper? That was a shapeshifter. Jasper was in the bed. I didn't get to have that moment. That was robbed from me.
Well, and I mean, it really inspired me as a character to just really, really lean into whatever bonkers idea came into my head and see where it could take us. Because I think it took us some really interesting places.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's number one, even above Mayday, Mayday, Oops.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Look at the bands.
That was an accident. This was also, like, kind of an accident, but so purposeful as well.
But I feel like Tony ended up stumbling into a lot of things, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
100%. Very Mr. Magoo.
That's so fitting.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
But also, like, in some ways, I felt like it was almost intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was intuitive but unintentional,
mm-hmm.
but kind of intentional because it was intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. Also, truly, you use spells and feats in ways I've never seen anybody use spells and feats, and it was amazing.
The fucking actor feats.
The actor feats.
I remember the look on your face when she said she was going to take actor, and you're just like, oh.
Are you sure?
There's other cool stuff.
Yeah. But truly, I've never seen, like, someone bust a Monday, like a D-tier feat in the way that you did.
Yeah.
Like when I got stabbed. And I was like, ow!
That's
crazy.
I feel like the silliness you brought to the table, like, I knew even, like, you know, we all have our shit going on in real life. Like, when I was having a shitty day and I didn't want to, like, you know, on a day where if, like, I knew silliness wouldn't even be an option, that I would have just been like, I don't want to fucking do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it, even if it was just a couple minutes, it was going to be, there was going to be some silly, lighthearted, I mean, for all of us, but, you know, there's Tony's a different
level.
But I also feel like that, like, not to get too much into my stuff, but, like, that's how I live my life. Like, that's how I get through the hardest things in life is to just be off the wall silly. And, like, I've never laughed so hard as I have on the kitchen floor with friends after funerals, you know? And, like, because that's the time to just kind of be your most vulnerable and be your silliest.
I really liked playing the straight man.
Oh yeah, that was
with
great.
That was really fun when it came up because I'm usually not that person, but Taika was.
But I think that we also, because we've known each other for a while, we're able to play off of that pretty well.
Yeah,
100%. And I'm like, come on, and you're like, no, and
no.
I'm like, how about this? And you're like, okay,
I'll go.
Yeah, y'all had a good dynamic.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, the friendship right away from the two characters. But I also like, too, that, like, well, it was, like, a strong part of it. Like, I like that you two, like, Shims and Ari were able to integrate pretty, and each had their kind of own relationships with each other.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Liam, what was something that Shims did, or, you know, something about Shims that surprised you?
I think, like, when I came up with the concept of Shims, I knew that she would be, like, a chaotic good character.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just thought the chaotic part would be more prominent.
Yeah.
But I feel like the good part was more prominent. I think she just turned out to be a much bigger softy than I expected.
I mean, you were truly, truly the group's, like, beating heart. Like, there is definitely a spectrum of, like, hard to soft, you know? Literally, in this order.
Is the squishiest, for sure.
That was something I always really liked about Shims is just the the hyper empathy that you had for like Tybalt, for example, was not somebody I expected to get humanized and like have a backstory. He was meant to be just sort of a mustache twirling tiefling. but you know, like, Shims saw something in him, and that made me, the DM, kind of think more about him and see something in him, and that was something that was really great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that arc. Chems is great. Yeah, I really, really loved her entire story.
Yeah.
God, do you guys remember that time that Chris wrote like a dozen letters so yeah. he could make a master letter?
That was crazy.
Fucking Christ.
Absolutely.
I do like my puzzles.
Okay, Magpie.
Yeah.
I also like how you mimicked Tony's voice a little bit for Magpie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
It's based off of you and a coworker I have that I'll mention off my...
Yeah.
But,
So curious.
I bet you could guess if you've met this person.
Yeah.
He's going to say the name and you're going to go...
Yeah, no, it was good. I really enjoyed the kind of the group getting to see Shibs' backstories and Michonne and he went on trial.
But
I also didn't expect Shibs to end up with Layla. That was
That's
I was so more
cute.
Shocked than you, I think.
It was actually, but no, it's you say that, but it was based completely on for me like Shibs is like. I expected, you know, you to meet Layla, kind of be weird, and, like, you go your separate ways, but, like, Shims kept pursuing her after that, like, giving her the music box and, like, checking in on her.
Yep.
You know, it was just sort of a, I don't know, Shims' interest in her kind of spurred, you know, my interest in thinking more about what she was doing, like, outside of the scope of the, you know, game.
Mm-hmm.
And how she would...
Yeah, because, I mean, she is, like, the most... Probably the most substantial character in her, like, personal story.
But it's such... It was
like,
such
she
was so antagonist-encoded when you, like, wrote her, though. So, I guess I should have expected, it's kind of the rage, like, the enemies, the lovers, sort of...
Yeah. Guilty as charged, huh, Leanne?
I'm always a sucker for enemies to lovers.
But it was also something like when I was, you know, we were getting near the end of it. I was like, you know, I know that Shems really didn't get a chance to explore like a romantic arc in the relationship, but I like the idea of there being kind of a promise of that in the future for her if she wanted it.
Mm. Me too, and I think I liked the way that it worked out just because like I get so like embarrassed whenever the topic of romance comes up for Shems, So I'm just like, I'm like, this was good, where it was just like a little bit of it, and I don't have to play out the whole thing.
Yeah, I try to gauge players' comforts with such things. Obviously, obviously when we started, like when you hook up with people, it'd be very like, all right, the camera cuts there, and then we get to a point where it's like, all right, you guys have dual orgasms, and the fire explodes outside, you know, so. Just kind of based off of
vibes.
That's funny. Anytime I hear it or even think about it, I still laugh really hard at you and Ricara hooking up while they're fireballing outside.
That is one of my favorite, like, just for the stuff after, and like, the, I don't know, it just, that's like one of the favorite decisions that was made. That was
so
meant
funny.
To happen.
That's so funny.
Did anything happen with Adrix? It's been a while.
You know, that's he was one of those things where it's kind of like, oh, you kind of kept on to him, but like, and I forgot really got pursued, and so like, you know, he just went back to home and like took care of his father and was doing monk things there, and I actually almost thought about bringing him to the wedding, but like, you haven't been in touch with him for a while, so he probably wouldn't.
Yeah,
he probably wouldn't be there. But I did think about him. He was on my list of people to consider for cameos at the end.
Excuse me.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Gosh.
God. How long, when, I know I was the last to join. When was that? How was that?
August?
Session, that was November.
Oh, was it November?
Session
or
12, October? I think it was.
Yeah. And session 12, yeah. And Leanne joined in session 9.
Mm. Was that
23?
2022.
Yeah.
22? It was 22. God damn.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, well, and they were supposed to... there was supposed to be, instead of you two, it was supposed to be two other players. But both had good intentions.
Who was it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be Dr. Chris and Sarah.
Right. Oh, God.
And so, but just scheduling for both of them was...
Totally forgot about that.
Was not going to... It just wasn't going to work out. Yeah. So. But I'm really happy with... It was a great group.
I mean, like, I hope this isn't offensive for anyone, but I was a little skeptical. Caitlin's like, oh, I met this woman in my group, and I was like, oh, okay. And then Chris is like, oh, there's this woman I work with, and I'm like, okay. And I just
bringing work home.
I just had to kind of be like, I have to trust them that this is okay. Because, like, I do get a lot of anxiety about bringing new people in, but I'm glad that 100%. They did.
Well, I had DM Shade before. Actually, I was DM'd your first DM. Your first taste is free.
The rest is very expensive. Yeah.
And, I mean, I trust both of you to, like, not bring in weirdos.
But also, I mean, we did do a one-shot with Leanne and Sarah, actually, because we thought that's what she's going to be in this group at that time. But, you know, just to make sure that the vibes are right, you know? Because you don't want to bring a stranger in and then the vibes be off and you'd be on a 104 session.
Yeah,
the vibes are good.
Yeah.
And that's where Shims was created.
She was created in that one shot.
Pre-generated character I made that for a heist one shot. I'm trying to remember. I gave them each, like, there was, like, the mouth, the muscle. I'm trying to remember what name I'd given the Shims, but. So it was basically just a pyromancer, and so Liam took pyromancer and, like, ran with it. Like, Shims was running around in that first proto session with, like, a bag of gunpowder that she would, like, throw gunpowder at things. And...
Amazing.
Yeah.
God.
And so when I asked Liam what character she wanted to play for the big campaign, she's like, Shims, I gotta play more Shims.
Yeah, I got really attached to her from that one, all the goofums.
Instantly attached.
And that's the thing, like, I feel like she was a lot more chaotic in that, like, the proto Shims that one shot was way more chaotic than Shims turned out to be in the campaign.
Well, that one shot had sort of, like, silly chaotic energy, too. Yeah. It was...
True, yeah.
And it's not as, like, story motivated.
Yeah, it didn't have a backstory then. It was sort of, it was very much like, we're gonna go here... And this thing, you know, you're going to deal with this one thing that happened. It was a heist in Windhaven, which is why Shims was, which is why Shims' character came from Windhaven to the Villain Peninsula. That is a canon episode. Shims is just going through a bit of a manic phase that week.
gosh.
Though I don't think we didn't record it, though, sadly.
Oh, we didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. This is crazy. Oh, I think I remember you saying we weren't recording and looking at you like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's very few D&D sessions that I've played that haven't been recorded.
Yeah. Well, it was also because, you know, I knew Liam was new, and you just wanted to keep the vibes as loose as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody's like, oh, this is going to be recorded, I didn't want it to, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Cause anxiety.
Does anyone think that they've, like, incorporated their character more into their everyday life?
I think I brought myself into this character.
You did just go on a date!
Do you think that was partially for Minari?
No. I mean, yes and no. Like, yes in the sense that, like, well, I don't know about Minari, but I feel like, kind of going back to, like, joining this and being apprehensive, like, I was like, I don't know fucking anyone.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so nervous. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was so nervous.
You guys had to switch seats because you talked so quiet. We had
right.
to get your ass closer to the mic.
That is true.
That's a real thing.
So, I mean, I think a little bit. And, like, I just... He's so cute. He was
so
playing
much.
With the button earlier on this, and I'm so cute. I just put lotion on, buddy. I'm sorry. I petted you in
I'm so sorry for it. It keeps distracting me because he's staring at you
so
like,
so
why
funny.
Is she not petting me? Like, he is so.
It's like your
obvious.
Hand is right there.
I feel bad,
just
buddy.
Touch me.
He keeps looking at your hands. Like, any second now, she's going to pet me.
He normally convinces me. but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What about you guys?
What was
definitely. Just how much have you incorporated your character into your everyday life?
I think I just brought myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I've always been very silly, but, like, I do feel like Tony's given me some permission to be as silly as I want to be, and not feeling like I have to put as many guardrails, for good and for bad, but, like, it makes me feel more powerful, I guess, than I was feeling, because I thought of it almost as a weakness, and I mean, there's still parts of me that do, but, like, I think that it's a strength more so than I did it at the beginning of the campaign.
I have incorporated all my characters. I now have.
You've got a real god plant complex there, don't you?
I do. I will say, you know, it is interesting. Like, this is the second longest campaign I've ever run. My longest was 108 sessions. It was very
four sessions short.
Come on, Chris.
Very close. But
I also just say really quick? I just looked down at my notes. Long before you even made it to the point of what I was going to be doing of this whole wish thing, I wrote this down.
Force ghost treatment.
Yes, I wrote that down well before we got to Tony saying that you were gonna force ghost me.
That wasn't an idea I considered before. I had that idea of just kind of like, you know, like as like, you know, kind of you just like sort of being there, not actually there, but like at people's heads. And so I had an idea of like doing things like that. But basically, yeah, it came down to like, I was like, if it's going to be our last session, I want it to be fun. I don't want it to be super sad.
I would have been really sad. Sorry I interrupted. Looked down and...
No, it actually ties into what I was going to say, because I was like, you know, comparing that campaign, my 108-session campaign, with this one, like, I'm, you know, not to pat my own back or toot my own horn, but I'm really happy with, like, how my DM's progressed as a DM. Like, I feel bad because I've broken this person completely.
Broken me? I don't know.
Your trust, your...
Oh, yeah, of course, duh.
Like, I...
You'll never get one over on me again, Fairfield, without a lot of fucking work.
I was so cruel in campaign one. Any ally, I was like, ooh, this is a point for betrayal.
He did kill all of our pets at one point. Yeah, that was
that's when you made that new rule.
I didn't kill them. I threatened them. There's a difference.
There was a lot of death involved.
The pets were going to get killed if they didn't stop the thing.
It was extortion. That's extortion, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah,
it was rough. I loved every minute.
Every ally was potential for betrayal. Like, any big twist I could think of, I threw in there. And it was exhilarating and great, but also like...
I'll never trust you again!
But also, like, I felt like it was just such a, it was just sort of a rookie DM thing, where it's like, drama for drama's sake, and just...
Well, and it's also, like, you couldn't pull that again if I'm in the group,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's too.
It was a great way to run a first long campaign,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was great. Every minute of it was great.
Yeah. But I feel like campaign one, Chris, would have kept you dead. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Because I would have been like, the sacrifice, if she comes back, then the sacrifice doesn't matter, you know, that. I feel like I've come a long way since then.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, and also just like, you guys have allies that won't turn on you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You can have romantic partners that aren't going to die.
Yep. It's true.
You can have romantic partners that aren't going to turn on you and then die.
Yeah. That campaign was just a different level.
Yeah.
I think it will remain the hardest campaign I probably ever play.
Yeah.
Probably.
But also, yeah, also just getting better at, like, collaborating and you know, making a more a group story.
He's like, my butt. Look at my butt.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it all from beginning to end.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
That's so weird.
No, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be with my children next week, but it's going to be weird not to play.
Yeah.
Yep. Very weird.
Yeah.
But what a story we all told.
Uh-huh.
I have... You think I did a great job? That's because I have great players.
Yay.
So. On that note, I'm going to stop the recording.